And, you know, at the time I thought, hey, if there's a depression like my parents went through and my grandparents went through, it wouldn't make any difference if I was $1,000 debt or $100,000 in debt.
Welcome to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals who work with investors, buyers, and sellers of commercial real estate coast to coast. Whether you're an investor, broker, lender, property manager, attorney, or accountant, we're here to learn from the experts.
Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio. Weekly, we share interviews with real estate experts, passing on their experience and knowledge to our listeners. Thanks for joining us this week. My name is Jade Aaron Gross. We're so glad you're here. Today's guest is a favorite customer of mine and a longtime real estate investor, Richard Anderson. Richard and his wife have been investing for a long time, and today we're going to learn how they got started and some of the challenges they faced over the years. Before we get started, though, I have a couple of quick things. If you like what we're doing here on Commercial Real Estate Pro Network, be sure to subscribe to our show. You can do it on iTunes. It's super easy. Just go to the iTunes site, and in the search engine or the search bar there, type in Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. And when you see our logo, it's the headphones with the CREPN in between the two headphones, click subscribe. This will ensure that you receive all of our episodes, and you can listen anytime you choose, whether it's in the car, at the gym, or even at your kid's sports practice. When you do subscribe, be sure to leave a comment and let us know what you think. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a real estate investor and a commercial property insurance broker. I've been an insurance broker for over 25 years. My primary clients are real estate professionals dealing in multifamily, retail, warehouse, office, and development. Also, I'm a real estate investor and have been for almost 20 years. And based on these two things, I'm constantly looking for more information about real estate so I can better support my clients and more information so I can use for my own investing. And that's how we started Commercial Real Estate Pro Network and CREPN Radio. And always, always please remember, insurance is a part of any real estate transaction. When you or your clients make an offer and you need insurance or have any issues with your insurance, give me a call. I'll do everything I can to help. It's what I do. The easiest way to reach me is you can go to jadearongross.com or commercialrealestatepronetwork.com and hit me up in the contact buttons. And one more thing before we get started here. If you're on LinkedIn, be sure to look up our group, Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. It's a great way to network with commercial real estate professionals. All right, so today's show, there's different genres. If you go to the library, go to the bookstore, there's different genres of books, whether it be a crime story or biographies or autobiographies. We used to always go to the bookstore with my father-in-law. He was really big into film noir, taught me a lot about that. But I'll tell you, one genre that I've always enjoyed and always wanted to hear more about was real estate investors. And I've always enjoyed hearing about real estate investors and how they get started, especially those who have managed to acquire a significant amount of real estate. It's easy to assume that they came from money or had some lucky breaks, but often I find that that's not the case. Most, I find, came from relatively modest means. They found a willing seller, and that's what it took to get started. And today my guest is Richard Anderson. Richard's story is very similar. You're going to hear about it. Richard and his wife have acquired over thousands of square feet of commercial real estate from Washington, Florida, and several points in between. And it all started with a duplex they purchased on a contract carried by the seller.
So I'm on the phone with Richard Anderson, a real estate investor. And Richard, as we talked, just looking for a little bit of information about your first real estate deal, some details, and let you tell the story.
Okay. Well, let me go back a little bit before that. a little unusual in that I started investing in stocks when I was 12. And my grandfather had lost a lot of money during the Depression, so he put me into two stocks that was Disney and also Woolworth. And so I started with that, and then I went into when I was 18, I bought a duplex. My parents are divorced, so I got my mom to sign for it, and I had my my wife soon to be. We had the same interests, basically, in starting a family and real estate investments, and so we bought this duplex. With the money that I'd saved when my parents were divorced, I had to work, so I did a lot of odd jobs and paper routes and stuff like that ever since I was probably about 10 years old. But anyway, so this is money I was able to save, and it was $1,000. And we bought this before we got married, the wife and I. And the duplex was up and down. We lived in the bottom part and rented out the top part. And it was $1,000, and it was a $10,000 investment. And we bought it on a contract because I couldn't sign. I couldn't have gotten a mortgage, basically, with a situation with no income. I had a job at the time, but I didn't have enough history to really get a loan other than buying it from the owner and carrying a contract. So from that duplex, we fixed it up and sold it 4.5 years later for $15,500. And by that time, we'd saved a little money, and wife and I are pretty frugal, and we had two children by that time. And then we bought a 13-unit, and we lived in that and converted two units into one unit so the kids would have a play area and stuff like that. And it was a townhouse right by Woodland Park, and they had it upstairs and downstairs and kind of a courtyard type where the 12 units and then the 13th unit was off the back. So it had its own private little courtyard, too. And we fixed that up and renovated it. In fact, the first year, I spent twice as much money into renovating it. It was pretty deteriorated. And I bought that for $100,000. And, you know, at the time, I thought, hey, if there's a depression like my parents went through, and my grandparents went through, it wouldn't make a difference if I was $1,000 debt or $100,000 in debt. So in this particular case, I'd be $90,000 in debt. And I still had the duplex at that time, but I sold it concurrently or, say, a couple months afterwards. So we went into that, and then we turned that into a condo, and from there we went to bigger and better things, and we were retail for apartments, the wife and I. She's a master gardener, and I did all the electrical and the plumbing, and in fact, the 13 unit, I re-roofed the second year we owned it. In fact, I put over a mile of three-tab roofing on having to strip the roof and then put down tar paper and then and I go by there and some of it's still there. And that was in 1968.
Wow.
So it still did a good job on it. That's but anyway, great. I turned that into a condo, and from there we rolled it into other apartments.
That's great. And from the first duplex and then into the 13-plex, and today, 2014, some measure of what you're doing, and I don't know necessarily all the financial stuff, but square footage or number of properties, how are you set right now?
Okay, we sold our last apartment in 2004-2005 range, and that was a 90 unit, and we had been in retail for 20 years, retail properties, and I built a restaurant for my wife, and she ran it for a while. We sold that in the 90s, and I built that in the 80s, and we sold it in the 90s, and we've been in retail commercial properties for 20 years. Well, let's say from 89 to 2014. So we're talking 25, you know, 26 years, 25 years, say. From that we went, we've sold a lot of our properties right now. We sold all of our Florida properties. We have a property, a mall in Texas, a small one, in Austin, and we have one in Bowling Green, a single tenant property, and we have a retail that Goodwill is actually moving in. That's what we're working on right now. We're getting additional parking so that it was a furniture store before. And now Goodwill has taken over the building, and they're going to be start paying rent within a couple of weeks as soon as we get our parking done. And then we have a property in we have some interest in properties, another property in Texas, in Katy, Texas. And we also have a property in Wyoming. And we still have an interest in property in Nevada, but we sold most of our properties. And let's see, so we've got Kentucky, we've got Wyoming, and Washington, and that's about it.
Now it sounds like you've done well.
Well, we have. 2008 was really a struggle. You know, we're very, like I told you before, we're very conservative investors. But our mortgage to value was under 50%. But you see, when 2008 came around for retail, especially values dropped over 50% in some areas. So, and we ended up with some vacancies that we had to carry, and going from a lot of cash to present, we're we don't have quite as much cash. We put a lot of the properties in trusts also, but we're still carrying the we're still president of the corporations and the LLCs and everything else that are the ownership of the property. So my wife and myself are still president and vice president or managing members of these entities. But the children will end up taking over eventually. So we're probably done buying right now. You never know. You know, we're going to be selling properties. We may roll them into something else, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Sure. Now, nice to have options.
Yeah.
So a couple of follow-up little questions here. What do you see as far as the future goes with real estate investing?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert, but with my experience, the internet is taking a lot of the retail over. In that, the brick and mortar there's not going to be quite the demand. You know, I read someplace in 20 years that there was going to be 50% less retail than there is right now in brick and mortar. But, you know, I've been talking to a real estate person. He says, no, that's not really the case. Although a lot of companies have downsized, you know, Office Depot, all those, they've downsized half the size. Staples, they've downsized to half of the square footage that they use. They still need a presence, but things do change in the size of the properties. going to smaller properties, and of course the location is everything in real estate. That there's, you know, different locations. Retail seems to move to different areas of a city or a county or a small town, and the dynamics of that makes a big difference in the value of the property or where it's going to be 5 or 6 years from now. Our property in Wyoming, for example, is 22,000 people in this small Rock Springs town, and this property we have is on the outskirts, and all, you know, they just built up this area where a Super Walmart was, and this was an out parcel of Super Walmart. So now going back there, the main city is pretty dead, and everything has migrated to the Super Walmart. So there's all kinds of new businesses and everything going around there. So the dynamics of real estate, you have to be very careful of you know, where you're located.
Right. No, that makes good sense. Good sense. Any advice for people looking to invest
in real estate? Housing, especially medium or low-income housing, is always going to be high demand. We got out of the housing for a lot of reasons because we're kind of hands-on people, and we ended up running it. We had the real estate management managing our residential complexes, but we never felt they did it as well as we could have, so we ended up doing it ourselves. And that's kind of why we got out of it, because it was more hands-on. But there's always going to be a demand for residential apartments. Location is important also, and things change. I know my son, he was part owner of our property, our last 90 unit we owned, and he had a 13%. And when we sold that, he put it into a building in Des Moines, 30 unit. And now they're doing the light rail within a mile of him, and everybody's swarming to make offers on his building because it's so close to where everything's happening. So, you know, locations in rural areas can really be affected by something like that. And but I think if I was going to recommend somebody get started, if you're going to be in the apartment industry, unless you have a lot of money, you've got to do all the work yourself and sweat equity. And so you better learn how to plumb, better learn how to do the electrical and the carpentry, and have an eye for what looks good. Our townhouse units, we always kind of rented them low, figuring because we lived there, we would be able to pick our neighbors. But, you know, that's changed. There's a lot of laws and regulations where you can't really do that anymore. But and so we kept our rents low, and we always had it completely filled, and we always did a turn as quickly as we could. Sometimes we do a turn from a vacancy to want to a new tenant within a week, and so we kept the revenue coming in. And I always invested into properties that had incomes rather than vacant properties or undeveloped properties. Sure, there's a lot of money in acreage, and hey, people have made fortunes that way, but I stuck to properties that had income that I could build on. I just felt more secure with that.
I hear you loud and clear on that, properties that are producing as opposed to hoping they'll produce, kind of thing. I think there's a different metal or at least deeper pockets if you're waiting for it to come, as opposed to knowing you're getting something.
Oh, fortunes have been made in all kinds of different endeavors in real estate, but that was just my philosophy, you know.
Right.
Somebody starting out, though, and it doesn't take much to start out. If you can find a small property, even a house that's really ran down, you can get in for, you know, a low amount and do the sweat equity thing and learn how to do things. I remember when we bought that duplex, it was about 6 months after I bought it. My wife was pregnant, and I hit the hose bib with the lawnmower and didn't realize it, but I'd busted the plumbing, the main line of the plumbing that coming into the house. And it was a disaster for me. You know, I hadn't, I didn't have a mentor that could tell me what to do. And some people, I had bids on it, and I couldn't afford that, you know. So I'm going to dig this thing up and see what I can do. So I dug a big hole, got to the bottom of where this T was, of this old pipe that had broken off, and where all the, I got the city to shut the water off. And so I ended up buying a water shut off so I could shut it off myself and work on it, and then followed it into a place where I could actually cut this old pipe and thread it, and then thread it and put a union, and then put a T, and then put another hose bib and do the whole thing. But when I first started, I mean, it was a sleepless nights, you know, thinking the world come to an end. But once you get through these things, you know, you build on it, you get confidence, you can move on.
Right, right. No, it's, those are stories I know well, the anxiety and also the uh-oh. And, but you do, you learn. You learn as you go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I ended up, you know, or even now, I'm involved in this parking thing. We just moved 2,000 yards of earth out. And at my age, at 73, I'm still doing a little digging, but mostly it's just moving trucks around and helping the contractor that bid this. And he's a good friend of mine. So even Leanna's out there. And when they're loading trucks and there's a little spillage or something, you know, we're there scooping it out and making sure there's no rocks on the trucks when the trucks move out, so you know, nobody comes back and say, hey, they got a chip in their windshield. And so hey, we've been doing this for the last 2 weeks, and we've got another 2 weeks, and we should be done. It was kind of a real serious illness in the contractor's family, so we laid off today. But and today I'm just getting a lot of things done, but that's where we're at. And we're still kind of hands-on people, and I don't know when we're going to retire. We probably never will, you know?
Well, if you like doing it and that's what you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having something to do.
Hey, it keeps me in shape, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can still, you know, haul the 100-pound sections of pipe and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, as long as I can do this stuff, you know, I just like to help where I can and do a little bit of hands-on even still. And the contractors, you know, he kind of protects me a little bit. But, but I enjoy it.
Great. Well, hey, I don't have any other questions for you unless you've got something you think I should have asked.
No, it's just that the tax structure now is getting really difficult to do the things you want to do. You know, unless you're super rich and can move your money offshore someplace, taxes are going to get greater, and it's going to be that much harder. But there's still so much opportunity in this country and elsewhere. Also, you go to other countries and you see that they don't have the opportunities that you have in this country. So, you know, I kind of wanted to go to college. I never did, But when I decided I wanted to be in real estate, I read every real estate book there was in the Seattle Public Library. At that time, it was 27. And so I educated myself, and I took some classes and found out that some of the books and some of the classes are not realistic, but you do get some concept of what's going on and how to run your business. So that's just educate yourself as best you can.
It's always refreshing to hear someone else's story of how they built their real estate holdings from almost nothing. As an investor, I'm always interested in learning how others do it. And I hope you enjoyed Richard's story and how he and his wife started with basically nothing and grew from a duplex to several thousand square feet of commercial real estate. For me, it's always nice to compare notes and see if there's something somebody else is doing, or maybe there's a different way to look at the situation. But I hope you enjoy it and understand where I'm coming from as far as a passion and enjoy learning more about how people are doing their investing, and hopefully it's helping you as well. Before we get out of here, be sure to subscribe. Go to the iTunes there and type in Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. When you see the headphones, logo with the headphones, go ahead and click that and subscribe. You'll be able to listen to us anywhere you are. We know you're busy, so we thank you so much for making time for us today. We really, really, really appreciate that. Until next time, thanks for listening to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio.
You're listening to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals. For more information on this or any of our guests, like us on Facebook, CREPN Radio.